This is Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe.
We have our friend Alec Lewis of The Athletic. He covers the Royals, and he'll be in studio with us here for an hour, in an hour, and that's exciting because I like Alec, and baseball's okay. But I like Alec.
More or less than baseball.
I mean, you know.
On Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Before we get to Alec, two quick housekeeping notes from the Sports Radio 810 Twitch. First of all, thanks to Credible Hulk for the gifted sub picked up by Chaotic Warrior. Also, our first ever Sports Radio 810 Twitch poll question.
Yep.
Will we hear an automobile noise through Alec's phone over the course of this segment? You can bet your channel points. You got about 30 seconds to get your bid in.
Predict custom amount. I have, let's see, 24,500 points.
Oh,
so
that's
I'm voting.
It? You got chump change.
24,500
wow.
points.
Wow, it is all of the
yes.
points have really moved. I'm going to say no because I believe.
35,000.
The concern for me. Wait, Beards, you put all your channel points in there. Oh, no.
Yeah, I have zero now.
Oh boy, you guys are absolutely toasted right now.
I had 24,504 points and all 24,504.
All right, so Alec, please don't lead the jury here. Whatever happens, happens. But your automotive audio habits have now made it to a very meta place where someone is going to win or lose a bunch of channel points now.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't know y'all were going to put this much pressure on me. You know, do I need to go outside? Do I need to call the fire department? what are you – like, I'm inside. I was on with Seren earlier this week, and I guess he heard the wind, and I thought he almost ate his microphone. He was so mad that there was this outside noise. So I'm inside right now, but look, I mean, if I get talking and if we get going, I might drift outside. We don't. We'll see. I guess we'll find out.
Hey, Alec, what's your address? Just
he's
call 911 real fast.
He's gonna call it a bomb threat.
I'm. This is like the first time ever on this show that I'm talking inside to start, and it might change. We'll see.
I think my reasoning for betting no just now was that I think last time you were either inside or just there were no automobile noises. So I mean, I just think do whatever the spirit leads you. That's what you do. And I hesitated to even let you know ahead of time that this was all hinging on, but I had to let the audience know what was at stake, and it's this, and it's incredibly important.
Well, I will say, like, with this weather outside, it would have been, I mean, it's the most safe bet of all time. And I'm out there just walking around, doing circles, and just talking about whatever comes to my head. So it makes sense, but I get my roommate's not here right now, so it's just like I can pace the apartment, I can weave and figure eight around the kitchen appliances. So I'm fine right now.
They're
frankly.
Not here right now, but you're saying they might drive there later?
It's possible. That's what I'm saying. Anything if he comes back in with his girlfriend, look, I mean, I might have to adapt. We'll see. We shall see.
Well, if it happens, I look forward to it derailing whatever very serious conversation we're having about Brad Keller at that point. But I'm really excited either way. You can follow Alec on Twitter at Alec_Lewis. Read all of his work up in The Athletic. We have had I don't want to call it a roller coaster just yet, but because it feels very, very early. But it doesn't seem necessarily wrong to say that the Royals season started with two incredibly exciting and fun games. And also, Danny Duffy had a good outing. And that's all I remember. I've blacked out the rest of it.
It's like a roller coaster, but you stop every 2 days. Like, can we
right.
get to what are we doing? Why are these off days? Like, if we're gonna do baseball, let's do the baseball, okay? Like, we don't need to have this. But you did say, and I'm gonna correct you. You said the first two games were. I mean, the first game was arguably one of the worst 4 hours. I mean, I'm gonna be straight honest with you. It was a great comeback. The fans were great. It showed the pride of this team, but boy, when that game was over, my car was ready to be heated up and me get out of there.
You hadn't been at a baseball game in so long, and then the first bite, you were like, yeah, I'm good, actually.
Josh, I talked to Denny Matthews the day after, and he said, it had been gone from opening day to opening night. It was minor league team. I was like, yeah, it's Denny, it was bad. I mean, it was tough. But no, it's been an interesting start. I'll go serious for a second. Look, the starting pitching has been really, really. I mean, you mentioned Danny Duffy and Jacob Junis was really good the other day, but other than that, I mean, it's been really hard to watch. I mean, Brad Keller's start, you mentioned it, but it's confusing. It's kind of interesting. It's I guess concerning in some ways, but it's. And then the lineup jumped out to score 25 runs in the first two games. And then now it looks like Rudy is at the plate when and Beard's in the third and fourth hole. So it's just been really interesting, a roller coaster with some stops on the way. So we're six games in. It feels like 60, and we'll see how this thing plays out.
Well, you corrected me. I'm going to correct you now. Earlier you said your roommates weren't home with you, but you didn't mention that Denny Matthews is in the room with you because you sound like you handed him the phone. I'd like to just talk to Denny Matthews for the remainder of this segment, I think. I'd like to know if his spirit just lives inside you now, because that was incredible.
I'll say this. So we talked the day before opening day, and then the day after – the plan was to call him on his home phone because he doesn't have a cell phone, and hopefully I'm serious, and hopefully he would be available. So I called the home phone, and he answered. He didn't know who it was at first, so we had to get over that hurdle. We got over the hurdle, and I asked, so what'd you think of the game yesterday? And he goes, were you there? I was like, yeah. I mean, that's my job to be there. He's like, boy, oh boy. He was really frustrated with it. And I thought for him, he hadn't been at the ballpark in a while, but his sarcasm was great. He's not in the room with me, but he does have a home phone, which I haven't seen since 2007. So that was good.
I mean, if you would have asked me to try to predict any human being within 100 miles of Kansas City, to be the most likely to own a home phone but not have a cell phone, I think Denny Matthews would have been my number one overall pick. Like, I think I would have nailed that one. That one's perfect.
Yeah, and look, I mean, it's got to be nice. He's not checking anything. He doesn't see Twitter. God bless his soul. He was great to talk to. I really enjoyed doing that. And I still haven't seen him at the ballpark. I printed out the story because he doesn't do the athletics. So I'm going to have to bring that to him. So I told him I'd bring it down to the box, and I will do that when they play the Angels this week. But it was fun talking to him. I need to listen more often in the 4 hour and 20 minute games because I think I would be in the same boat as him.
Oh, yeah, that's great. I think this somehow is a controversial take, but I love Denny Matthews. I really do. Every detail so far has only reinforced what I was pretty sure that I knew about him. Just truly absolutely a treasure. All right. Well, so let's see if we can squeeze out like 10 straight minutes of baseball adjacent things, and then we'll get back to trying to see if we can get a car horn or something. At this point, I think that I'm going to start with the negative, I suppose, because it's who I am, and also this year's been weird. But I think at this point, Brad Keller is probably the story of this year. I guess if you were a real optimist, you could have said that maybe you thought that the Royals were going to get off to a good enough start that would sort of preserve the idea that maybe they'd be a fringe playoff team, or really a 500 team, which is what they are as of right now. But they also started with the Rangers. So I have to think, though, that Brad Keller, both in the immediate and in the long-term future for this team, like, has a significant role to play. And this start for him, whatever the reasoning behind it would be, I think that's the biggest story so far this year. Do you agree with that? And then either way, what have you thought of Keller's start?
Yeah, I think that's it. I'm trying to go through the Rolodex in my head of everything. I mean, you could talk about like Carlos Santana and Andrew Benintendi, who they paid Carlos a lot of money and they traded prospects for Benintendi. Both those guys have been have struggled, to say the least. But I do think Brad's start is the story. You have a guy who's as young as he is as your ace for a reason. It's because A, you believe in him, and B, because it's important that you believe in him because his performance is going to be very important for your team. And the first outing was really just weird. Like, he threw the same pitches that he's thrown. The movement, the spin rate, I have dug into it ad nauseum for some reason. And it's all very similar. In the second outing, he started looking pretty good. First inning, I think he got an out or two, and then he left a slider up, and then he left another slider up, and the movement and the fine statistics were still the same. He said he's healthy. He talked about pitching more aggressively, but I've talked to a scientist on this. I've talked to a private pitching coach, and it's like we don't really know what's up. And I think there's some people who would say that, look, Brad, with his numbers, they've been really good. They were really good in 2020, and 2019 was a little up and down. But some would say that a regression was kind of due. But others would say he's just missed spots. And some of that, I think, has just been kind of pressing. I think when you're tabbed to be the opening day starter at his age, you want to come out and prove something. And then when you're facing the White Sox, who hate Brad Keller for some reason, because there was some, like, it's the goofiest. Chicago doesn't like Brad Keller. Like, I don't, that's okay. And Marceline doesn't like Alex. Like, I don't really, it doesn't really make any sense. But, to pitch there in that environment on their opening day, I think there was a little more juice. And so it's hard to really put a finger on what has gone on and how much to read into it going forward. But look, the longer you go and you perform this way, the more concern there's going to be. And if Brad Keller is not anything close to the starter you wanted him to be at the beginning of the year, this team's going to lose a lot more games than anybody thought, including Vegas.
So, I mean, I guess I think you sort of hinted at it, but how long do you wait before you go, oh, this is a real concern? Because we are talking about two games and, like, five total innings. So, I mean, it's a small sample size still, but sample size, as much as we talk about it all the time for position players, pitchers have a smaller one, obviously. But so how long do you give it before you start kind of, I don't know, moving up the levels of concern? And then also, yeah, what are those ramifications, both in the short term and the long term, if it doesn't get significantly better?
Yeah, I think I give at least two more. I mean, he's pitched over the last 3 years. I think he started 57 or 58 games. So to make this rash judgment on such a small percentage to start a year, just it would be ridiculous. I think at least two more. I'd say probably after five starts, if it's all looked very similar, then it's really concerning. And the ramifications are that, I mean, A, the Royals' other young starting pitching prospects, like, they need to hit. Because if they don't, then in these years like 22 and 23, where I think they really think they compete, both of those had Brad Keller penciled in. And if he's just if he's not anything close to like a number two or number three starter even, then you kind of have to reassess the future and kind of how you view some of these other pitching prospects. I don't know if that means Asa Lacy has to come quicker. I don't know if that means Daniel Lynch has to be even better than some people think. I don't know if Jackson Coar has to be the guy or Brady Singer, but it will make you really rethink these young pitching prospects. And it goes, I think, more from we have a boatload of these young pitching prospects that can help us to, like, we need these young pitching prospects to hit or else we're in trouble. And so it'll be interesting to just watch going forward. The most interesting part of it is just there's nothing glaring. There's nothing with Brad's starts that it's like, oh, that's different. Or it's like he's thrown his sinker more, but his sinker's always been a good pitch for him. He's gotten more swing and miss on some of his pitches than he even did last year. So it's just really odd. And it's one of the more, I mean, I'm young and haven't been doing this very long, but it's one of the more interesting I've seen, really.
And the idea of, you know, can't quite put your finger on it, I think it's probably, and I'm really trying not to be an alarmist for no reason, but I think that's probably the worst thing that you can say about a dude having a problem. Like, if it's a mechanical issue, that's not great, but you can go and work on your mechanics. If it's a velocity issue, that's not good, because that can, you know, obviously mean a number of reasons have led to that point, but at least you know that's what it is. If it's a mental issue, you can, you know, specifically, you can try to work on that. I guess, do you just let him just pitch through it? I mean, they moved. The other crazy thing about it is they moved his second start back, which took him away from Cleveland's lineup and gave him to Chicago, which couldn't have helped. So, I mean, whenever we don't know what it is, and maybe the Royals know more than we do, but if they don't, and if you've talked to a scientist, which I've been thinking about since you mentioned that, I'd love more information on that front. What is it that you do if you're in the Royals' shoes right now?
Yeah, I mean, you said it, but I mean, you would hope the Royals see something. I think we asked Mike Matheny and Brad last night, and the answer was like, need to be more aggressive with the fastball and throw things with more conviction. But like, it's kind of one of those, like, how can you really put a finger on that? Like, was he not throwing hard enough inside? It's one of those things where it's like, I guess we'll just have to see if he throws more inside and goes more aggressively at guys. To your point, like, you would think the Royals pitching staff would be able to help in some sense. You would think, I don't know, some of the older pitchers on the staff would be able to help. And then the scientists, look, I did a story in spring training on, and this is another element to this, but I did a story on something that's very complex called seam shifted wake. And it's really the seams of the baseball are affected by air, and they can sometimes make the ball move in ways that it otherwise wouldn't. And Brad utilizes this seam shifted wake effect more than like anybody. And sometimes the seam shifted wake effect can kind of, I know I'm getting really in the weeds, but it can kind of like go away and be different some days and other days. And so it's a little concerning. You don't really teach this. It's kind of just the natural way of that they throw the ball. And so I asked the scientists who really came up with this concept, like, are you seeing anything different? And really, it was there was something a little bit with the slider, but it wasn't enough to be something really glaring. And so even he was just like, yeah, you might be right. It might just be he just missed this spot. And so I think some of this could be Brad struggled. We need something to talk about. So what, I'm not sure, but it may just be he's missed the glove where Salvi wants him to throw it. And look, I mean, guys miss gloves, but you can't in the major leagues, or you're going to get peppered and get hit to the concourse like Yermin Mercedes, whoever that is, did last night.
So to go back to the first thing you're talking about in there, but follow up, just a quick follow-up question. What?
On the theme shifted wake?
Yeah, I'd love more information on that, please. Yes. What?
It's very complicated.
I think you just explained it a second ago. Like,
explain it to him like he's five.
No. You explained it as if everyone listening was five. I need you to explain it as if you're explaining it to a five-year-old dog.
So, for a long time, MLB has used different technologies to track movement of the baseball in the game. They use TrackMan. They've used Rapsodo stuff. And before last year, they implemented these new cameras called Hawkeye that pick up data that the other technologies didn't. And one of the things that they picked up is that sometimes the ball on some pitchers is moving more than the spin would say it would move. And those cameras pick that up. Hmm. And Brad's sinker and his four-seam and his slider, all three of them, which is really rare, move different than you would expect from the spin to the hitter's eye. And so sometimes, and it's a very natural thing. Like, Brad isn't purposely doing something. He just holds the ball a certain way that leads this to happen. And it can be, there's a lot of variance with it because of weather, because of a guy just throwing it from a different arm slot on a certain outing. It's very new concept that's very complicated, and it makes you start to – I mean, my brain doing the story really hurt. I was on a Zoom call with this scientist, and I felt like I was a a 10-year-old dog, and I still couldn't understand it.
It's very interesting. So, but the one thing I wanted to make sure I understood is it's not something that Brad Keller is doing on purpose. It is something that is affecting his pitches in a way that has served him well as a result of whatever it is that he's doing.
100%. And this scientist who created – he coined the term season-shifted wake, has written a ton about it. And we just talked about Brad, and he said he's like one of the most interesting pitchers in the world. And this was because of it. And it's an interesting thing. It's another element. Baseball has these rabbit holes that are just unbelievable. And it makes it the game – it continuously makes the game – interesting in a way that it sometimes is not. And so, but this concept, it's hard to tell how much this could or could not be playing a role, real time. It's just really difficult. And if it were me, I think it's just been, he's missed spots at times that have been very inopportune to good hitters. And you got to stop doing that. And he'll have time to make sure he does.
Let's talk about something good that's happened so far, because there's been plenty of interesting positive things. Michael A. Taylor was a blast out of the gate. You mentioned Carlos Santana, who I've missed a pitch or two here and there, but I'm pretty sure he's up to 50 walks so far this season. if the start of his year was anything, it was any indicator. What do you think? Let's leave the pitching off to the side, because I want to come back to the bullpen in a little bit. But of the position players, and certainly among the newcomers, obviously Benintendi's start has not been excellent. What's been your sort of favorite positive thing that maybe has outpaced even what an optimist may have thought at the beginning of the season?
Yeah, Michael A. Taylor. There's just zero question. He is hitting every ball, like smoking every single ball, and he's not missing much. And I thought it was really interesting because I dug into the numbers from last year, and I found out that he actually he barreled up baseballs more last year on a percentage basis than Mike Trout, and it was like, wow, I don't know. It was like Michael A. Taylor did this, and maybe that's something the Royals saw when they went out and signed him. But even when they went out and signed him, I don't think they expected this type of production. The first couple games, he hit two home runs. That was pretty insane. But he's putting together a top of the lineup at bat every time at the bottom. And that's been really important, especially when they didn't have Dozier, especially that they don't have Adalberto Mondesi. And so, I don't want to be pessimistic either, but I'm just kind of have to say it. It's like beyond Michael A. Taylor and Whit Merrifield, it's just hard to feel like you could, you have any consistency. I mean, Soler has been good in spurts. Salvi's been good in spurts, but I mean, otherwise, it is just like it just feels like you have confidence in Witt at the plate, obviously, and you have confidence when Michael A. Taylor's at the plate. But otherwise, it's just you just do not know what you're going to get, and that's tough. That puts a lot on guys, and I mean, you can make there might be reasons for all these guys. Kyle Isbell's obviously young. I think Carlos Santana, I'm not sure. Andrew Benintendi, I'm really not sure. And it's just an interesting thing. And I think they're really, I mean, it's hard for me not to think that they're really missing Adalberto Mondesi and what he just would provide from a pressure standpoint, if nothing else.
Yeah. I mean, and also, I don't know if we have really got much clarity on either, like, how exactly he got hurt and what the timeline is. I've seen a couple varying things whenever we talk about any sort of like strain, I can't turn off my football brain. So I hear muscle strains and I think about Sammy Watkins, where everything was, you know, he'll get back to practice in 2 weeks. And then 6 weeks later, he runs his first route in a game. It's like, man, like the way that those injuries can linger. And especially for a guy where his athleticism is so important to the game that he plays. Do you have a feel right now on the timeline for Mondesi and how patient the Royals are going to be with him?
I think they're going to have to be as patient as possible, but he's going to have to be patient too. Mm. I think so. What I heard is on one of the finals of court, I mean, he had a great spring. He was in great spirits. I talked to him and it was just, I mean, it was kind of refreshing to hear him. And then I think the final day of spring training, the final game, there was a swing where he felt something. he didn't say anything after that, but it wasn't that bad. And then I think the next day it was like, I really can't move. And then they did tests and found what they found, that it was a strained oblique. To answer your question on timeline, I mean, they haven't given anything. But the issue with this is, like, Adalberto Mondesi felt really good in spring. And if he's just not going to pick up a bat for 2 weeks, I could see him being like, God, I want to make sure my swing's still good. Maybe I'll take a couple cuts. And you just can't do that. Like, when your body it contorts like it does when you swing or you throw or you slide into a base, I mean, the oblique, that's not an injury you can mess with. So they're going to have to make sure, like Jorge Soler last year, they tried to bring him back. He tried to play through it. Then he went back down. It was a mess. And so, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised, and I haven't heard this from anybody, but it seems at least like a month, maybe more, because you just can't test this thing. And it's unfortunate for him. I mean, look what Fernando Tatis and happened to his shoulder. These guys get hurt. That's what happens. But it's unfortunate for him and the Royals. It really hurts for the lineup. There's no question.
Is there a solution to? I'm gonna talk about sample size again because I got like three things in my baseball bullpen here, and is there anything over the course of six games into a 162 game season that you can start to say, oh, these are legitimate larger concerns, or am I going to try to extrapolate too much because we're only allowed to watch one game at a time? Because my concern is, you say, hey, this team has basically two consistent players right now. Michael A. Taylor has been incredible, which we'll see. Like, I hope, I'll knock on the wood, man. I hope that continues. And you get Whit Merrifield, who will continue to hit baseballs forever. But do you think that this is something where whenever Mondesi does end up being back and maybe someday another, I don't know, young up-and-coming probably infielder shows up with two names and a junior, do you think that there is a reconstruction of the lineup that brings the best out of everybody, or is this just actually a more honest reflection of some of the limitations within the order right now?
Yeah, I'm not – I mean, six games, it's easy. I was talking about this with Dave Holtzman, who's a producer. And it's just like statistician wizard. We were just talking about it. And it's easy coming off of a performance against Shane Bieber, who can put the ball literally wherever – if he wanted to put the ball on the Plaza Fountain right now, he could probably do it.
Right.
And Lance Lynn, who looked like he was drinking beers and throwing people out. It was kind of crazy. It's easy to think so recent with those. I mean, they faced two really top-notch pitchers and struggled. And it's easy to kind of, I don't know, go off that and make observations and draw conclusions and be pessimistic. But you just, like, baseball, you need, Dayton says this all the time, like, you need 40 games. You need a sample size. And while, like, Ben Attendee and Carlos Santana and, I don't know, Jorge Soler and Salvi have struggled a little bit, it's not fair, really. Two of the four have come against two of the best pitchers in the league. So it just, you need to take time. And then as far as lineup construction, I mean, I think sometimes we overdo that anyway. Yeah. I think it's just, I think... I mean, I don't know. Just guys, if guys produce, no matter where they are, it'll pay off. I don't think there's any reason to, like, pull Ben Attendee right now from the two spot. There's six games. He's gotten some hits, and maybe the bat path will come around. I don't know how optimistic I am, but maybe it's possible, and you see. I just don't think there's any reason to really shuffle things. But, look, they might see Michael A. Taylor as a chance to really spark some things, and I really think they need to get one of these two this weekend against Chicago, just to keep the win in the sails.
Yeah.
In my opinion,
I think that tracks. If you go back and hear, just play back any of the audio of things that I said after the first two games against the Rangers, it was, I don't care that it was against the Rangers, to take the term you just used, there's some wind in the sails. Like, it was. Watching from home, being able to multitask, a fun first couple of games. There was, the offense looked like it was exciting. There were walks being taken, balls being hit, and Michael A. Taylor becoming a star before our very eyes. I didn't think that it was going to look, I didn't think they're going to have double digit runs every game for the rest of time, but there was some wind in the sails, and it would be pretty disappointing if by the second week of the season that was essentially completely gone.
Yeah, I mean, it's, how you set the tone is really important. I mean, in everything. If my lead is bad, and it usually is, then it's probably the story's not going to be very good. So, look, I know it's been six games, and I know after Sunday it'll be eight. But, I mean, when you work all offseason to build a foundation of belief and of wanting to compete, and then you just don't see results, and you've kind of looked the way you've looked the last 3 years, it creeps in the mind. There's no question. And if you do want to compete for an extended period of time this year, it can't happen. So that's why I think one of these next two, they really just need to get the Sox. The White Sox have just almost spooked them, it seems like. They beat them 9 out of 10 times last year, and obviously last night was what it was. So I think it's important, especially when you face the Angels, who have Shohei Ohtani, who just hit a home run tonight, and you face the Blue Jays, who have expectations, and the Rays, who were in the World Series last year. And it's just a gauntlet. You need to get one of these two to just, I think, kind of calm down. And I do think, like, the rhythm of the season and having games back-to-back-to-back and hitters being able to get their timing down, I think that'll be important and help, but it will help everyone. So baseball's weird. It's hard to really capture.
Yeah. Alec, you're the best. I'm going to let you go before you wander into the traffic and cost me some channel points. Thank you for making some time tonight. Beards and Rudy are both. Beards and Rudy are both going to be.
I'm broke.
Absolutely.
I'm broke.
Earlier, they were asking for your address so they could call some sirens. Now they're going to be asking for your address because they're going to need a place to crash tonight while they try to get some channel points back. Thank you, Alec. We'll talk. Go ahead.
I feel so bad.
Listen, I won some channel points. I think you did a great job.
You feel real bad.
I didn't put the farm on it because I didn't really think it was going to be this sort of high stakes. But listen,
you mentioned Bobby Witt Jr. kind of, but not really. Uh-huh. So I'm just gonna do it right here. That guy's incredible. I can't wait to see him. What people don't realize about Bobby Witt Jr., he's like the nicest dude ever. I was on the backfields with a cup of coffee. He's like, oh, what'd you get? I was like, why are you asking me this? Like, this guy.
I love
like
this guy.
Nicest, he's like the nicest dude ever. So, I don't know. Hopefully we'll see him soon. You never know what happens. But that was the first interview in Kansas City sports history this year that didn't ask about him, really. So
yeah.
Bravo. You won the points for a reason.
Yeah, see, I feel like I really doubled down. So where do you think he's going to bat tomorrow?
In Louisville.
No!
Down in Kentucky.
Get him out of here. Thank you,
the Royals playing in Kentucky?
Yeah.
Thank you, guys.
Yeah, this game's happening in Louisville tomorrow. Thank you, Alec, and thank you for staying indoors for the sake of my channel points. Alec Lewis of The Athletic. Follow him on Twitter at Alec_Lewis. You can tweet your mean tweets at him, choose prediction. Oh,
I heard a car, too.
How many channel... Guys,
I told you I bet them all! I bet 24,500, and then it said you have four left over, and I said, fine, bet those four, too.
I have
earned 160 throughout the interview, so I have 160, but I bet them all.
98% of the points ended up on yes, because Rudy turned his wallet upside down. 99%
of that 98% was me.
Well, do I win half of the? I'm gonna see. I didn't put that many in. Did they just
go
away?
I will say
it's a percentage.
I was getting the segment set up, and I couldn't
Beards
quite figure it out in
any.
Time. I didn't manage to get it done in time.
Beards
wow! So
any.
Those were all Rudy's.
Yes,
those were all
yes.
Rudy.
I bet 24,000. So the
my
way it works is
36,000 channel points. I have a monopoly here.
The way it works is so you. It depends. So right. So if you bet 50% of the no or of no, if you were 50% worth, then you get 50% of the jackpot.
Okay. Prediction result is no. Let's see. Hold on. So what just happened here? Let's
so
see.
You will get the percentage.
I just got almost 5,000 channel points.
Yeah.
Thanks, Rudy.
You're welcome.
That's a lot of points just for me. Incredible Hulk.
Yeah.
Incredible Hulk's got 31,000. He put more into the pot than
yeah,
I did.
He did.
Wow.
Yeah. It gets split up. So, like, you know, you guys got 27,900 between the two of you. And then it's based off the percentage of how many percentages of that points, how many percentages of it was his. He gets that percentage of the jackpot.
I'm going to highlight a message with my Twitch points here, my channel points. Let's see, 100 points to highlight a message.
I mean, I can highlight a message. I got 100.
Rudy is big mad. Highlighted in the Twitch chat. You got to highlight a message, Rudy? Rudy, I've got a highlighted message here on the Twitch chat from @notthatRudy. It says, no, I'm not.
I can't send any more highlighted messages. That was it. I had one.
Go follow Alec on Twitter @Alec_Lewis. Read his stuff in The Athletic. The piece about with Denny Matthews is very fun. And he's just a content machine during baseball season. So if you care about the Royals in any way whatsoever, go read his work. And if you don't care about the Royals, but you do care about this show on some level, go follow him on Twitter and tell him next time that he needs to go do the interview from outside.
This is Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe.
I meant to warn you at the front end that this show is, we're going to talk about some NFL stuff and some Chiefs stuff, but you're going to have to, this show is going to be unapologetically this show today.
On Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Thanks to Alec Lewis again for joining us and for staying indoors so I could win some channel points from Rudy.
I sent the fire truck to the wrong address. waste of a call.
Mick Schaefer in about 20 minutes, by the way. We'll have him to close out the week. A couple things I want to talk about in the meantime. We'll get there. But the channel points, the predictions and whatnot, those are all things exclusively over on the Sports Radio 810 Twitch, twitch.tv/sportsradio810. We've talked about the Twitch and interacted with the Twitch way more than we would like the text line or even Facebook or YouTube lately, even really Twitter. I will say this, if you're a podcast listener or whatever and you just simply are not going to be around the show while it's live, it's okay if you don't want to go over and watch the show on Twitch. It's just been a really good platform that we've continued to be able to do more fun stuff with. And so if you're like, you know what, I want to chat with other listeners of the show during the show and give ourselves some more entertainment value that Josh, Rudy, and Beards cannot provide on their own because, you know, they're not that good at this. If you want to interact with each other, you want to see if we can continue to add things like little interactions over the course of the show and all that stuff, it's great. If you don't, it's totally fine. It's not like we're not going to live or die on the Twitch this, immediately. But it's just been a lot of fun. We've had a lot of fun interacting this way and kind of doing the show through the Twitch. So if you want to check it out, there is officially my pointing you in that direction. We got the little chat overlay. We got the little, if you follow us on Twitch, you get a little beards of gif is what I was going to say. I'm incredibly drunk and tired. You get a little gif of beards as Fire Elmo from Steve Fitzpatrick made many moons ago. That was an ESPN Kansas City gif that was made by Steve that has now made it up onto Twitch. So it's a good time over there if you're interested in getting into another level of the show as we continue to try to make it a bigger part of the show. It's been a lot of fun. Here's something else we need to fix. Beards, we need to fix something. I need you to help me fix it, Beards.
Uh-oh, okay.
Right now,
yes,
the Twitter display name of our dear Rudy Salazar is Johnny Juzang Stan. Her Stan account, is that right?
Juzang Stan account.
Yeah, who? Just some random dude that I play soccer or whatever.
Just the disrespect. It's the greatest player in UCLA and Kentucky basketball history.
It was a guy who lost in the tournament this year, Beards.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Okay.
First ever to go first four to final four.
First ever to lose in the tournament?
That
first
seems
ever. He's the
unlikely.
Best loser?
I would argue that we could
scored
make a run at
that more points
title
than Kareem Abdul-Jabbar ever did.
In what?
In the NCAA tournament. And at UCLA.
Is that because there were less games in the tournament back then?
No, because he just has more points than Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. Like, it's just a fact, Beards. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar never scored a point in the NCAA tournament. It's just a fact.
Okay.
He also has more points in the NCAA in a single NCAA tournament than Bill Walton.
It's because the NCAA tournament
didn't
exist.
Beards, it's because Kareem Abdul-Jabbar never played in the NCAA. His name was Lou Alcindor, Beards.
We've been over this one.
Goodness. And he actually did have more points than Bill Walton in the NCAA tournament.
Oh, that's fair. Bill Walton didn't score that much.
Bill Walton had the second most heading into this tournament than Johnny Juzang passed him.
I've had this on my Google Doc here for a very long time. Did you guys see there is a an HBO Lakers series coming out?
Yes.
There's an HBO Lakers series. Quincy Isaiah is cast as Magic Johnson. Solomon Hughes is cast as Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
Never heard of him.
Jason Clark is playing Jerry West.
Can't dribble with his left hand.
Who is it playing Bus? Isn't it John C. Reilly?
Well, hold on. So Adrian Brody is playing Pat Riley.
That'll be good.
Michael Chiklis is playing Red Auerbach. John C. Reilly is playing Jerry Buss.
That's a weird one.
Not as weird as this one, my friends. Well,
I'm trying to go for it. I saw the cast list. I'm just trying to remember what else is there.
Larry Bird is being played by...
Oh, that's
Larry
right.
Bird.
Bo Burnham.
Tricks out.
Larry Bird is being played by Bo Burnham.
Feels right.
Rudy, I hate to disagree with you so publicly, but it really doesn't. It might be great. Honestly, usually whenever there's a casting this out of left field, it ends up being great because you're like, what? Bo Burnham playing Larry Bird? What? It's because like whatever they saw in the casting department. HBO's got a good casting department.
They're usually pretty good about this.
I'm excited about it. Jason Segel is playing Paul Westhead. And there's some, I think it's, Sally Field is playing Jesse Buss, Jerry's mother. Bo Burnham's going to play Larry Bird. I've been meaning to talk about that for like 3 weeks. Anyway.
I think he is kind of tall, like Bo Burnham. He's a little tall and lanky.
Rudy's like display Larry name has Bird to change, tall, Beards.
Yes.
It has to change.
Yeah. I don't want to force anything in the water.
Well, I think we're going into a weekend. I'd like to suggest a couple of options here. Number one, we could go Rudy Witt Jr., although I think that could wait until the call-up happens maybe tomorrow. I think he's not going to do this one, but I think this one's funny. He could change his display name to Rudy Salazar.
Nah.
I like that one very much. I think maybe the leader in the clubhouse for Rudy at least he could be the disrespected Rudy Salazar.
That's yeah.
But I feel like the Johnny Juzang Stan account. I feel like its moment has come and gone. We need another evolution for you.
I'll probably just when I remember go back to Rudy Salazar for the time being.
I think you got
because
a bit
something,
though.
I know, I agree, but it's just I don't like it's got something's got to grab me. Like Johnny Juzang.
He grabbed you?
He did. Grabbed my heart. I never let go.
That seems bad.
No.
You could die.
Just wouldn't understand, Beards.
People aren't supposed to touch each other's hearts with their
two people
hands. That's
care
bad.
About each other very much. And one of them grabs you by the heart.
Ouch.
It's magical.
Really painful.
Johnny Ju Pain. Another thing I've been meaning to mention for like 8 months, the race at Kansas Speedway is going to be called Bushy McBush Race.
Wait, what?
Did you not see
is
this?
Is that real? No.
This was, I think, pre-April Fools.
I didn't see any of this.
Kansas Speedway welcomes the Bushy McBush Race 400 in May at Kansas Speedway.
Did they do like a vote?
Yes.
And they just are actually honoring?
It's brought to you by Bush Light. It's not offensive. It's funny. Got good headlines.
Cheers to them, because so you know how many of these people, like, yo, they put up the vote, right?
Yeah.
And Facey McFace or something like that wins. And they're just like, oh, we're not going to go with that.
Doggy
McDog,
Buddy McBoatface.
Like,
that was my favorite. Buddy McBoatface.
Yeah, like,
that's where I'll start with Buddy McBoatface.
Good job.
Excellent.
Good job to the Kansas Speedway for just being like, you know what? Hey, we put this ballot up. This one, we're respecting it.
The other finalists were the Bush Latte 400.
It's also so
the
good.
The Nectar of the Cobbs 400.
It's also really
and
good.
And the For the Farmers 400.
It's
Bushy
solid.
McBush Race 400 at Kansas Speedway, presented by Bush Light. Whenever that race gets here in May, I just want t-shirts.
Whenever that race gets here in May, my Twitter display name will be Bushy McBushface.
I think it should be Rudy McRudy Face.
Yeah, I'm fine with that. Yeah, that works.
I think that's pretty good.
Like I said, it's got to come natural. It's got to grab me by the heart.
That's gotta hurt,
reach
man.
Inside.
That's gotta hurt.
Grab it.
Like through the throat?
No, through the chest. You don't know.
So they're breaking ribs to do this?
I mean, you just go through the chest. Why would you go through the throat?
It's like Larry Bird. Because he's gonna punch you right through the what's this part of your rib cage?
The sternum.
Yeah, the burnum.
I hate you.
Let's take a break.
This is Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe.
I've gotten two thumbs up, by the way, on the rib puns. I just got notifications pop up of people validating my rib pun. So Beard, you can go to hell.
On Sports Radio 810 WHB.
If you wonder how often this show basically ends up in reruns, Beards just played a liner about me being defensive about a rib pun that I made. I've moved from ribs to sternums. Like, that's the evolution so far.
Liner for everything. I always say it.
It really is. We got a hell of a catalog at this point.
Is there a liner for you trying to talk to us with food in your mouth?
Yes. Absolutely.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Yes, yes, there is.
That's fair.
During the break, Beards
especially
was saying,
sweet tarts.
Beard was saying something about some NBA nonsense I didn't really care about. But the funniest thing was that who's the guy with the jowls who played with Sully in Monsters, Inc.? We're full circle. John Goodman. It sounded like John Goodman had a mouthful of Hot Pocket and was trying to talk to us over the talkback. That's what Beard sounded like. I don't know why so specifically, but that's all true. Another hour, Mick Schaefer, 41 Action News, closes down the week with us next.
You're listening to Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe on Sports Radio 810 WHB.